Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers.
That was a pretty... Hello!
Robust, wouldn't you say? Robust?
More than robust.
Alert?
Awake.
Anyway, we're broadcasting this week from the Vacation Planning Center here at Car Talk Plaza. Now, we want you to know that there's still plenty of space available for all sessions of Mechanics Fantasy Camp here at Car Talk Plaza.
I like this
idea.
Well,
it's just like those baseball fantasy camps where you pay about $4,000 to get tips on how to hit, catch, throw, and scratch from some retired Hall of Famer who's really in deep to the IRS.
Sure, but you get old Krusty to run the fantasy camp. Is
you
he
got
running it.
It
now? Is he in charge?
Well, not yet. No, we haven't revived
it's a brilliant him. Idea.
Well, at fantasy camp, Mechanics Fantasy Camp, my brother and I and Krusty will teach you how to hit, catch, throw, and scratch mechanic style.
Yeah, like hit your knuckles as you're taking off nuts and bolts.
Yeah, that's one thing.
That's one.
Catch hell from my rate customers. Throw your tools in disgust.
Yeah,
and
scratching needs no further discussion.
No, in fact, we could teach the ball players about that. Anyway, if you'd like to sign up, just give us a call. You know the number.
Send $1,000
down payment. Right
for the deposit to hold your spot because there are many spots to be held.
Oh, yeah. There are plenty of spots. Don't worry.
And you can come to the camp. Where is the camp going to be? Right at the garage?
Oh, no. We found a bucolic setting for it.
A bucolic setting. Yeah, I suppose you should. Fenway Park?
Unnamed. To be named in the future.
I like it.
Yeah, as yet, undetermined bucolic setting, but it will be something special. You can rest assured. Anyway, if you'd like to call us, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mary from Atlanta.
Mary?
Mary from Atlanta with a magnificent southern accent.
Oh, well, I'm glad you like it.
You probably don't notice that you have an accent.
I don't have an accent. You have an accent.
Right, exactly. I knew you were going to say that.
You're from New Jersey, aren't you?
No.
Yes, and they shipped us to Massachusetts in the Witness Protection Program.
How are you, Mary?
I'm fine.
Good.
What can we do for you?
Well, I have a problem, and it's a car problem, but it's really a mechanic problem.
Oh, jeez.
And I have these wonderful mechanics, and they're great guys, and they're really honest. It's just that I don't trust them to repair my car.
Mm. Yeah, well, see, you got two choices when you get a mechanic. Either you get competence or you get honesty.
Yeah.
And as far as we know... Those two things have never occurred in the same person.
In the same person.
Anywhere on this planet.
Well, you know why? Because if you're smart enough to be competent, then you're smart enough to be dishonest.
Exactly.
But go ahead, tell us your tale of woe.
Well, my tale of woe is that for regular maintenance, I've been going to these guys for 20 years. They'll rescue me anywhere. I mean, if I broke down on the New Jersey Turnpike, they would have a cousin who would come and find me. I feel like that when I started listening to you, it's not because of cars. I just enjoyed you, but I thought, this is it. You can tell me what the problem is, and I can walk in and say, hey, Herman, I need a new belt on my front right gasket.
Yeah. So you'll be calling like every week now.
No, I've got a 91 Toyota. I don't have any trouble with this car.
Well, I have to say that these guys, whoever they may be, are a treasure.
I know they are. That's why I'm calling you, because I thought if you could tell me the problem, then I could have
existing problem right now.
The existing problem right now is that about a couple of times a week, I go out and I turn my key on and nothing happens. And it's always when it's been sitting, because my first thought is, oh, God, I left my lights on. You know, that dead silence you get with no battery. I turn it off, turn it back on, starts right up. It's been going on for about 3 months, and of course my fear is that I'm going to turn it the second time and it's not going to go on.
Is this a Corolla?
It's a Toyota Corolla 91. I've had no trouble with it.
Stick shift?
Huh? No, automatic.
Automatic. It's one of two things.
What?
Either it's the ignition switch.
Okay, it isn't that one.
But I don't think it's the ignition switch.
What do you think it is?
Okay.
Since you said that it's an automatic...
Right.
I think it's the neutral safety switch.
Okay, it isn't that either.
Oh, come on!
Oh, no. Oh, this is getting beyond Herman's expertise.
Those were two zingers in there, man.
Those are two zingers. However, I must fall back on my vast experience with Corollas.
It's the
starter motor.
It's the starter motor?
Yeah,
these starter motors are gear reduction starter motors. Not that somebody couldn't make one that worked correctly, but Toyota has had trouble making these work right.
Uh-huh.
And while it could be something like a bad battery or a bad connection at the battery, it's more likely the starter motor itself. And the symptom is classic. You turn the key, nothing. And sometimes when it gets bad, you'll turn the key again and again and again, and nothing will happen. You will hear, however, the solenoid in the starter trying to motorize the starter. You'll hear the solenoid click. If you listen carefully, you'll hear a lunk, lunk, lunk. If he's not cursing, you'll hear the thunk, thunk, thunk. Mm-hmm. And eventually, the thing, you'll go thunk, and start right up. And what's going to happen over the long run is that the thunk, thunk, thunks will get more frequent, and eventually it won't start at all for you, and you'll have to have the starter replaced.
Well, how many thunk, thunk, thunks did I go through?
Exactly. How many thunks does she have?
I would go to 5 or 6 thunks.
5 or 6 thunks.
Oh, so...
And is this beyond Herman's expertise, or
no.
should I get a qualified mechanic?
No, no, no. Herman, could if you could diagnose it, he can do it, right?
Right.
So
sure.
I would
tell
him
I need a starter motor.
I think so.
This is going to break their hearts. I'm the only person in Atlanta who knows less about repairing cars than they did.
Well, you used to be, right? So you can tell them that. And if you want some corroboration, you can. They've had the car overnight and haven't been able to reproduce it?
No, I haven't taken it in. I want to know what's wrong before I take it in.
Right. She's using her new strategy.
Yes,
she's not
going to
bring it in
strategy.
Until she just says, replace my starter motor. That's it.
And they'll say, and how do you know, Mary, you need a new starter motor?
Yeah.
And I'll just say, trust me.
Trust me.
That's it. There you go.
Yeah.
Listen, you guys are great. I love your program.
Well, a pleasure talking to you, Mary.
Good luck, Mary.
Uh-huh.
Good luck. Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mike. I'm calling from Virgins, Vermont.
No!
Hi, Mike.
Yes!
Can I tell you a story?
Sure.
This is exciting.
Do the rest of us have to hear it? Or can you just call Mike, like, tomorrow and talk?
Let me tell you. When my wife graduated from college... She was a student teacher in Virgins, Vermont.
Get out.
No kidding.
Yeah, I mean, is there some kind of penal institution
Correctional.
There? Correctional institution? Is there a jail or a prison or something in Virgins? Or is it just everyone is a criminal?
I think everyone's a criminal.
No, there used to be, because I taught school for a while in Vermont, and... The bad boys, the ones
the bad
that you
kids.
Never heard from
yeah.
again.
Went to Virgins.
Went to Virgins.
Right.
That's
we
where
have
she
the training
taught.
School there.
Training school.
That's where she taught.
Oh.
She's going to be thrilled to know that someone from Virgins can actually dial a telephone.
Yeah, we've alienated that state. No, we got it's a good thing you're ticking off the states with low population. I mean, Montana, no problem.
No problem.
Vermont, not too bad.
No.
A little close to home, but that's okay. Anyway,
so what's
Mike.
What's up, Mike?
I have a 1993 Cadillac Fleetwood Brougham.
No kidding.
No kidding.
How old are you?
27.
What are you doing with that car? Did the police know that you bought a car like that and you're only 27?
Yes.
Do you have any powder blue leisure suits?
No, not anymore.
93 Fleetwood, okay.
93 Fleetwood.
He must have his reasons.
Yeah.
93 Fleetwood, and the problem I'm having is that when I turn the wheels all the way, either to the left or to the right, like pulling into a parking place or making a U-turn, the front end will bounce up and down like I'm going over speed bumps or potholes.
So you're going very, very slowly, pulling into a space. You are going slowly?
Yes.
And when you get to the end of the travel of the steering wheel...
Yes.
It bounces.
Yes.
Hmm. All right. Why are you driving a Fleetwood? If you can't answer the question they ask you...
Ask another one. Yeah, why are you driving a Fleetwood?
I think the Cadillac is the best car, and that's just the deal I got.
And you're sticking with that story, huh?
The local dealer gave me a heck of a deal on this car.
So you bought it new?
I bought it used about 3 months ago.
Great. Here's what I think might be wrong with it.
What's that?
Let me ask a question first
before
I get myself in too deep. Does it pull to the left or right when you let go of the wheel on the highway?
Not noticeably.
I'm assuming that it's in the alignment somehow.
Oh, no, I think it's...
You don't think so?
No. Not,
think about it.
Fleetwood.
See, I'm thinking that one of the wheels is not turning right.
Nah, that's bogus.
I know it is, but that's the feeling I'm getting. I'm using all my intuition here.
Here's what you do.
Yeah.
Take off your white belt and tie the steering wheel so that the car is making a tight left-hand turn.
Okay.
Ooh, yeah.
Okay. Put the thing in gear. Jump out. And you can stand in the inside of the circle and watch what's happening.
And watch what's happening.
And then if nothing seems to be going on that's too exciting there, you can run to the outside and see what's happening. And then run to the inside. And if you're lucky, you can jump back in the car.
Should he leave the door open when he's doing this or just the window?
I think you leave the window
just
down.
Just the window so you can jump back through
the
window.
So you don't lock the keys in it.
Oh, that's true.
There you go. Exactly. Well,
are you up for this, Mike?
I don't know. I will try.
Alternatively, of course, you could get someone else to drive the car in a tight circle.
I was thinking that might be a good plan.
That might be good, too, yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to come up with a scenario, and here's the scenario I'm coming up with.
Yeah, what do you see?
That you have a slipping belt.
Okay.
And because, when you turn the wheel all the way to the left, you're asking, or the right, you're asking the power steering to produce its greatest amount of assist. And if the belt is slipping, it can ultimately cause the engine to change RPM. So it slips, the engine RPM goes up, and then it doesn't slip, and the engine RPM goes down, and power is transmitted to the steering box.
Oh, so you think the reason it's bouncing is
it's getting little shots of power from the engine, and that's causing it to jerk ahead. And, of course, and that's what's causing the bouncing is that he's got his foot on the brake at the same time, and the car is nosing. Okay, you've got your foot on the brake, you're in gear, you've got the wheel cut all the way, so I think that's what's going on.
Okay.
You ready for this?
What's that?
New shocks.
New shocks.
You think so?
No, not really.
No.
You might need the power steering belt tightened, but take it to your guy and have him check. Maybe you got a ball joint that's ready to fall off.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, you should have someone check out the front end, because any time it steers funny, it's potentially dangerous. And you really should have someone check out the tie rod ends, the ball joints, and make sure that nothing has fallen off.
Okay.
But that said, I don't think there's anything to really worry about.
I do.
But it's worth it to have it checked.
I will have someone check out the front end.
See you, Mike.
And good luck, Mike.
Thank you
My
so
wife
much.
Is going to be thrilled when
Mike,
I tell
if,
her.
If how old are you, 27?
Yes.
What, pray tell, are you going to own when you're old? If you own this car now.
A Subaru.
That's it. Work
there you
backwards.
Go.
You got to work backwards.
Well, you know, there's a certain wisdom in that. I mean,
there
why
is.
Wait until old age to buy the car of your dreams?
That's true.
Buy yeah, it now can. While you have no money. Great.
Hey, Mike, thanks a million for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227. Oh, heck. 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Tony McLeod from New York. I'm
Tony with an I?
Tony with an I.
From New York City?
From Farmingdale,
oh,
Long Island.
Farmingdale.
Long Island.
Right. I didn't wait until I was old to have the car of my dreams. I have one.
What is that?
It's a 1994 Mitsubishi 3000 GT.
So what's wrong with it?
Well, I get a pulsing in my brakes, and I can't attribute it to the ABS system. And I took it to two dealerships, and both dealerships told me the same thing, that the rotors are out of round.
Yeah, I agree.
Probably
and
true.
They also said that I have lots of brake pad left, so it's not time to change either the rotors or correct the brake problem. However, they gave me two different approaches. Now, when I was a little girl, my dad was an auto mechanic, and I used to do my own brake jobs.
Yeah.
And we always cut the rotors. We always sent them out to get them cut.
Yeah.
We rarely replaced them.
Yeah.
I have one dealership telling me that I must replace the rotors, and the other's insisting that all I need to do is cut them. What do I do?
Wow.
And you knew all about that.
Well, the car's a simpler way back then, and I used to do a lot of my own work. But I don't know what to do with this car.
First of all, the guys who told you it's not time to do anything, I'm not sure that they're quite right.
No,
because just because you don't need pads doesn't mean you shouldn't correct this problem, because this is reducing your braking efficiency.
Well, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Well, it depends how bad the pulsing is. I mean, if you have you may be a very sensitive-footed driver, and you may be feeling a pulsing that isn't really too serious.
Okay.
On the other hand, let's assume it is serious.
Right.
And let's assume that something has to be done with the discs. Because these discs on this car do not have a wheel bearing set up like your old car.
Right.
It's very difficult to put them in the lathe and get them true.
Okay.
So you can do that, and sometimes you find out that the pulsing is worse when you're all done.
See, now they suggested to me that they would put the car on a lift, and they would actually cut the rotor while it
was on the car.
They can do that. Oh, this car is front wheel drive.
Yes.
Yes,
so they can do that
is.
For the fronts, but they can't do that for the backs. But you may only need the fronts done.
Yeah, I think they told me it was the front that was the problem.
And if the disc is not in bad shape, if it isn't all pitted and pockmarked,
then this will work.
It will work fine. And it's somewhat cheaper than buying a new one. Did they give you prices?
I think they said $170-some-odd to have them cut and replace the brakes, and it was well over $400 to do it the other way.
Oh, then I think you should do the first choice.
So you're basically telling me you're saving me about $300 with this telephone call.
Yes, so you're going to send this or what? Check for the retirement fund, right?
You need to know.
Mom, the IRS is all over us like a cheap suit. We need some dough. Don't send the check, send cash. Well, I wouldn't be too worried. I mean, I wouldn't run out tomorrow and do this, but if you do it, have them machined.
Okay.
And, you know, because I think that'll obviously save you a lot of money, and it should be pretty good. On the other hand, when you do machine them and you make them thinner, they have less heat dissipating capability. And you increase the chances that
they're gonna warp again.
Again, especially if you drive like a maniac, which we know you do.
Otherwise, you wouldn't have this.
We didn't want to bring that up. Your children may be listening.
That's right.
I don't have children, so it's not a problem.
That's why you're driving like a nut.
So I should stay out of Farmingdale, Long Island.
Absolutely.
No, you should come and visit.
No, I'm gonna stay clear. Thanks, Tony.
We'll call you from the ferry. We'll call you from Orient Point.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Tony. Bye.
Bye.
She's nuts.
Oh, yeah. She's a wreck. Okay, look. We have to pause right now and take a break.
Oh, station identification?
No, station underwritification. We'll be right back in a minute. Astro Vibe, light through the cracked windshield. Astro Vibe, new brakes and gasket seal. Astro Vibe, yeah, you are more than just a ride. And even though the NPR IT guy looks both ways, then shoves a burger patty into our CD drive whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR National Public Radio.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if your cable box broke and you can't watch anything other than C-SPAN.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the perpetration, I don't get this, the perpetration of a giant frog?
Fraud!
Fraud! I don't know.
It could be.
A little typo.
A little note here from Mark Stambofsky of Springfield, our fair state, Massachusetts.
Uh-huh.
Having seen you guys on 60 Minutes, I've been wondering about the house in a state of buck incredulity. Allow me to explain. Having hacked my way through the jungles of modern-day voicemail dating, I have developed the uncanny ability of determining body mass by carefully scrutinizing the sonic characteristics of the disembodied female voice. Don't you wish? Having long scrutinized your two voices on NPR, the moment I spied your telecommunicated images, it was abundantly obvious that I was witness to a great ventriloquistic charade.
Really?
Without question, the bombastic sonority, the resounding bellicosity, the tirades of magniloquent tonal rotundity, all bullseye indicators of overfed vocal cords, could not possibly have originated from what appeared to be Tom's meager frame.
Yes.
Conversely, the harmonically raw-boned voice issuing from Ray, a man intimately familiar with Twinkie aerodynamics, poses a clear aural, A-U-R-A-L,
yes,
paradox.
Indeed.
I fear more than a few will posit the impossibility of ventriloquism, of a ventriloquism act consisting of two dummies.
Oh, we found out.
That was the best line. I'll repeat that. I fear more than a few people will posit the impossibility of a ventriloquism act consisting of two dummies. That is indeed an intriguing conundrum, the solution of which might well topple the entire Car Talk empire.
Really?
Suspiciously yours, Mark Stambofsky, 16-something, Springfield, Mass., 0111.
What was that about the aerodynamics of a Twinkie?
I didn't get it. Twinkie aerodynamics. It was interesting.
Well, wow. I don't do Twinkies.
He thinks this is a
charade.
A ventriloquist act, and that there is indeed only one of us.
Well, I mean...
thinks it's you.
No, well, first of all, he laid claim to being able to do this with females.
Yeah.
Right, to determine body mass. He didn't lay claim to having any expertise with males, and he clearly doesn't.
I have developed the uncanny ability of determining body mass by carefully scrutinizing the sonic characteristics of the disembodied female voice.
So, back to the drawing board for him.
Yeah, we might just be a small piece of research for you, Mark. So,
get on it, man.
Get on it.
If you'd like to call us with a question about your car, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Gary Jacobs from New Smyrna Beach, Florida.
Hi, Gary.
From where, Florida?
New Smyrna Beach?
New Smyrna Beach. We're just south of Daytona Beach.
New Smyrna.
S-M-Y-R-N-A.
Yeah, I have it.
I figured that.
Yeah.
I've never heard of
New Smyrna. What was so bad about Old Smyrna Beach?
Well, I don't know. I've never been there.
Oh, just curious.
Yeah, so what's up, Gary?
I have a mechanical moral dilemma.
Mm-hmm. Moral.
An M.M. Mechanical.
We're ready.
All right, I'm a doctor. Two doors down is a mechanic. And I have a 1995 Toyota pickup truck that I always change my own oil on. Mm-hmm. But I worked out a deal with a mechanic.
He's driving a Jaguar.
And I worked out a deal with him that he would change my oil and do all the mechanical, you know, routine mechanical things, and I'd take care of his family for free.
Really?
Yeah. But anyway, when I was over there watching him change the oil, I went over there, the car had been over there about 2 hours, and I wondered if it was ready. So I went over, and I noticed that he had a concoction of socket set extensions and U-joints and all kinds of mechanical things to get down to the oil filter to take it off with an oil filter wrench. And he'd already burned himself twice, and he'd already been working on this for an hour and a half. Now, I know, having changed the oil before, I know that you can just take four little bolts off inside the wheel well, and a little panel drops down, and you get a straight shot at the oil filter, and pop it right off.
Mm-hmm. I see the problem.
I see the problem too. Now, he's a bona fide working auto technician.
Is he an employed mechanic?
Yes, he is.
But it doesn't work for Toyota.
No.
Obviously not.
No. Mm. My question is, shall I tell him, how shall I tell him?
Don't tell him.
Well,
he's going to figure it out sooner.
No, he isn't. I don't think so.
No, because he's gonna go to work someday, and he's going to say, man, I was changing the oil on a Toyota the other day. What a pain in the butt that is. You got to do blah, blah, blah. And someone will tell him sooner or later, you didn't take the little panel off? And he's going to say, huh?
Well, here's another possibility.
A synonymous note.
Okay. The next time you're going to have him change the oil, you take the little panel off, but say nothing.
Oh.
Oh, I leave it hanging.
Yeah, leave it hanging.
Sure.
Right.
And when he goes to check out what's making all that noise, he'll say, Sonia, Hanny's tutu.
Oh, I think that's a good solution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that, too.
Yeah, because it would be an affront, I think.
Yeah. I mean, the same thing is going to happen in the other direction one of these days, you know? You're going to be treating one of his kids or his wife or something, and it's going to be something painfully obvious to him, and you're going to start prescribing antibiotics and who knows what, surgery, because you have a boat payment due, and he's going to know that...
the kid has a bean in his nose.
Yeah, what do you guys do when you have a boat payment due?
Yeah, I mean, how do you make...
We know what we do.
Well, it's pretty easy to manufacture illnesses. All you'd have to do is plant the suggestion.
Is this some code of silence that you guys...
No, we just hope people get sick.
Yeah, I know. That's great, isn't it?
How are you feeling? Great, Doc. Oh,
that's too bad. Well, I would remove the plate and hope for the best.
I think that's a great idea.
See you later,
thanks,
Gary.
For calling, and thanks for asking. It was a very sensitive issue. Thanks, Gary.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. See, at least he had the decency to ask that question.
Yes. The sensitivity, I think.
That's it. The sensitivity. Most guys wouldn't.
You said, hey, you moron.
Hey, jerk.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Oh, this is Sue.
Sue.
Yeah.
And whence do you call?
I call from Philadelphia.
What's up?
I have a big problem.
Sure.
I have a Jimmy. 1995 Jimmy.
95 Jimmy.
It's white.
Okay. White.
It has blue interior.
Blue interior?
40,000 miles.
Don't go giving us all these hints, Sue.
I'm sorry. I want to make it easy for you.
Blue interior?
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of tacky looking?
No, it's okay.
No? Okay. Fine.
It was the last one on the lot, huh?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, you got a deal.
Got a deal.
Yeah.
Anyway, it makes a funny noise.
Uh-huh.
And when you first start it up, when it's cold, it makes a loud noise.
Is it a roaring kind of noise?
Kind of a roaring noise. Do you want to hear it?
We want you to make a fool of yourself on National Public Radio.
Okay. Hold on to something. Here we go. Woo! I'll do it again. Woo! And then it lasts for about a block.
Huh. Is it exacerbated by revving the engine?
No.
And as you drive down that one block while it's doing this, is the truck sort of going faster than you want it to?
No.
It's not.
So it's making this noise, woo noise, and then after a minute, like somebody threw a switch, it just goes right off?
Yes.
But during the time that it's making this noise, it in no way affects the performance of the vehicle?
No, not that I can tell.
My brother is asking you a lot of questions, which would indicate that he's on the trail of something.
Well,
but
good.
Knowing my brother as I do,
yes,
he ain't on the trail of nothing.
Well, does it have a blue interior?
Yes.
Because I knew that none of those
You're
questions
warm.
Was going to get him anywhere. Because he has no idea.
Well, of course I have an idea.
No, you don't.
I do.
You don't.
It's wrong, but I...
You know it's wrong. See, even you know it's wrong.
Idea that I had was that you have a bad fan clutch.
Oh, okay. Let me write that down.
Well, don't write that down because that's wrong.
Oh.
Because had that been correct, it would have been made louder by revving the engine.
Oh, and it does not.
It does not.
It's not.
So, I'm going to go to my fallback position. Or is it spring ahead position?
It's spring ahead.
And that is that you have a bad, a worn out belt tensioner.
A belt tensioner?
Yes.
Should I write that down?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and you may have a worn belt as well.
Oh.
In many cases, if this vehicle has what's called a serpentine belt, this vehicle, like most modern vehicles, has one belt. And that belt snakes around all these accessories and runs everything at the same time. And if the belt gets worn, it will make this kind of noise, especially on startup. And I hesitate to ask you if it's worse in cold weather.
Yeah, actually, I think it is.
Oh.
Was that good?
By the skin of his teeth.
Thank God. Yeah, I would have your mechanic look at your belt, and if the belt seems to be all right, I would suspect a weak tensioner.
Okay.
Gee, that was good.
Good
there
luck.
I was. I have to apologize. I thought from the series of questions that you were asking that you had no idea what was going on. How silly.
Underestimated
of me.
Again.
Again.
See you, Sue.
Thanks
Thank
for calling.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Sure, bye-bye.
Our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
Hi, who's this?
My name is Ethan, and I'm calling from On the Road.
Yeah, so what's up, Ethan?
Well,
you're on your cellular phone.
As a freelance photographer, I'm nearly always in perpetual motion as I drive the back roads of America.
Mm-hmm.
In my 1977 Volkswagen bus named Van Gogh, making portraits of people off the beaten path.
Very good.
But it's not about Van Gogh that I'm calling. She runs like a top at 210,000 miles. But rather, I'm asking about how to ask and receive directions when I'm lost. After nearly 35 years of asking directions, I'm not getting any better at understanding them. I'm getting worse.
Well, I, I, I don't feel equipped to give advice on how to ask directions.
Because you've never asked them.
I never ask.
Well, there are two types of people, those who ask and those who don't ask, yeah. And I have no pride.
And
so
the other way to separate those two is men and women.
Can I give you the scenario?
Sure, yeah, give it to us. I'd like to learn.
Okay, so I'm lost, and yeah. Having no pride, I figure, hey, let's ask someone the way. So I stop Van Gogh, roll down the passenger side window, and flag down the first person on the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. The man or the woman graciously stops, saunters over politely, and looks into the open window, at which point I say, hey, I'm lost. Trying to get over to Springvale on Route 116. Can you help me?
Yeah.
Sure, they say. It's a piece of cake. What you do is you go to the third set of traffic lights and turn right. That'll be McDonald. Then go to the second stop sign and take a left. That'll be Drummond. Then go over the bridge, past McDonald's, and look for Spelman Road on your right. But don't take that one.
Meanwhile, you've gotten lost at the first left because I'm lost already.
Go straight ahead until you pass the JFK Memorial School. And soon after that, look for the Texaco station where you'll see Route 16.
Can't
miss it.
See, I've had this. I had the same problem as you.
Well,
I already know that you're going to go down to three traffic lights and take a right on McDonald. You're going to go through one stop sign, and at the second stop sign, you're going to take a left on Drummond, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
From then on, so I always ask people, can you tell me how to get halfway there? Because right. I know that's all I can remember.
Well, what happens with me is that I haven't been listening, because halfway into their spiel, I get lost in the woman's beautiful face, or I'm transfixed by an amazing patch of fuzzy, gnarly hair on the old man's earlobe, and I'm done for.
Right. Well, see, that's because you're an artist. Right. And you're trained to recognize beauty in things of interest.
Here's how I do it.
You have your wife ask.
I roll down the passenger side window, and I say, how do you get to Springdale on Route 116? Can you help me? I'm lost. And they go through that whole little litany that you just went through. Yeah. Go down three lights, take a right on McDonald, two stoplights, da, 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 da. And I say, thanks very much. I roll up the window, and I say to my wife, what did he say?
Absolutely. Or I tell a lie, and I say, yeah, I got it.
And they know you ain't got it. They can tell with that stupid look on your face.
Yeah, especially so when you hang
again.
The U-turn.
I don't think he got it. The whole thing, and I tell the second lie, which is, yeah, I got it. And then I drive to the third traffic light, and I look up to look at the street sign, and all I can see on the street sign is her eyes or the old man's fuzzy earlobe.
Yeah, yeah, you're a goner.
I'm gone.
I'm sure that someplace out there is some kind of memory expert.
Ooh,
who would tell us, draw a picture in your mind.
Oh, I've got it. You need to go and buy one of those $39.95.
Etch-a-sketch.
No, no, no. Etch-a-sketch would be good.
Like a left thing, right? And you draw yourself a little picture as he says it.
Better than that, a little tape recorder.
I like the sketch.
I like the sketch with a tape recorder.
I like that.
Rewind it, play it back. You know what's really embarrassing? Having to ask the same guy for directions twice. When you've gone in a complete circle and the guy recognizes you, so there's the bozo in the van.
He
flags you down.
You pull over again and you roll down the window and you look out and you see the same.
Pretty bad.
That is embarrassing.
You say, was that the third left?
And you can hear him mumbling, what a bozo. And I heard him exclaim as I drove out of sight, what a bozo.
Well, Ethan, you do have a problem, but you must have learned your way around a little bit after all these years.
I know how to get from Oklahoma to Montana, but everyone gets lost. And my father never asked directions. He had too much pride. I ask all the time, but I'm not getting it.
You don't get there any faster than he did.
Yeah, no.
Well, that's why the rest of us don't ask, because we know we're not going to remember what they say.
I tell my wife that I won't ask because I am trying to develop a sense of direction. And you will not develop a sense of direction if you're constantly using other people as crutch.
As a crutch, exactly right. That's what I say. I'm with you, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
No directions 1 year.
Thanks, Ethan.
Okay, thanks so
much. Thanks for pointing out this very, very important problem.
Okay, thanks.
Good luck.
Bye-bye. Okay, look, we have to pause right now and take a break.
Oh, is this the place where we go chisel our noses?
Powder our noses.
Powder our noses.
We'll be back in a minute.
Get the yard cut down and the baby's fed. A million songs running through my head. Daylight comes, I'll be gone again. baby glow. Hard to keep my thoughts all in a row. I can't slow down the life I've chose. Somehow I love the way it goes. Time moves fast and the wheels turn slow. That's how the life of a traveling man goes.
And even though Carl Castle wonders if they're still looking for bouncers at the Key West Applebee's whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR National Public Radio.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the used puzzler. Now, as both of our listeners
Pre-owned puzzler.
As both of our listeners know, every summer the puzzler goes on vacation.
Sure. Leave us here to sweat over a hot microphone, why don't you?
Well, but if you're one of those people for whom a week just isn't complete without a Car Talk puzzler, here's what you got to do.
First, seek professional help. Seek professional help.
Or go to cartalk.com where you'll find this week's classic puzzler from the Car Talk archives. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-822-777-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Mary from Pittsburgh.
Hi, Mary.
Hey, how are you?
Well, I got a problem here.
Yeah.
My father, who's 88,
yeah,
just moved to Pittsburgh with us.
Huh?
And he has a 1991 Dodge Shadow. And we ended up getting the car, and my husband can't fit into it.
Ah.
And I was wondering if there's some way we can do some surgery or something to fit my husband.
On the husband or the car?
On the car. To fit him into the car.
Do you fit in it?
Yeah, I fit into it. But, you know, sometimes I'd like to have my husband with me. Not all the time, but, well, anyhow.
Yeah.
Does your husband not fit because he's very tall, or is he circumferentially challenged?
He's only 5'11", but he's very high-waisted, and he has short legs. And because of that, his head hits the ceiling of the car.
Oh.
Okay?
I gotcha.
And I don't know what could be done. We were considering like a sunroof or something like that, but I don't know.
A little bubble type thing.
A bubble would be good.
Gee, that's the hardest part. That's the hardest one to
fix. Well, here's what you do.
Fix.
You take the jack out of the back, out of the trunk.
Okay.
You put it between the seat and his butt, and you just keep jacking up until his head makes room for itself in the room.
I mean, your only hope is to lower the seat.
Okay.
But the seat in that car is pretty low already.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But the Shadow does not have a power seat.
No. Mm-mm.
Boy, it would be nice if you could get a power seat because that might solve your problem. It might make the car drivable for both of you.
Okay.
Because power seats go up and down, which other seats don't do.
How can we make sure this works before we make the investment?
You have to find a 91 Shadow at a used car lot with a power seat.
Uh-huh.
And let him sit in it
and try it. And if he says, I could live with this.
Oh.
Yeah. I would go to the junkyard.
Okay.
And you got to find someone who has an electric seat for a 91 Shadow.
But before you do that,
they're going to be hard to find.
I assume they make one with a power seat.
But this is the junkyard is the place where you're going to be able to experiment relatively inexpensively. You can't go to like a dealership. Well, stay away from
that. No, but you can go to a used car lot and find one that has a power seat and see if it's going to work first.
Okay.
If it does work for him. I mean, it's got to work. He's not that big.
We're only needing another inch or two here, and we're okay.
And the junkyard may even have a different seat that goes in there that gives you that inch. So you can play around.
Okay.
But
sure,
there are ways to do it, and it does not take surgery.
Okay.
And good for you.
Okay, well, hey, thanks
Good luck, and I hope Daddy enjoys living in Pittsburgh. Where did he live before Pittsburgh?
Scranton.
Oh, he's going to love Pittsburgh.
Oh, hey.
Great.
He's getting used to it. It's coming along. It's working out well.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Okay, well,
thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Jeff from Lincoln, Nebraska.
Hi, Jeff from Lincoln, Nebraska.
You know, Abraham Lincoln was born there.
Yeah,
he really was. Continental Drift has actually moved.
Well, why do you think they called it Lincoln?
Yeah, it must be.
So what's up, Jeff?
Well, I don't drive, but apparently I promised my girlfriend I was going to get a driver's license this summer.
You did.
And so now you guys need to bail me out.
How old are you?
I'm 25.
25?
Yeah.
Gee,
why do you not have a license?
Well, mostly I get around on the bus, and other than that, I got a girlfriend to drive me around.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other reasons that you care to reveal to us? I mean, do you want...
Well, why should he? Is he obliged to get a damn license? No, he doesn't want a license.
No, but if you're living out in the middle of nowhere...
That was my question. Evidently, Jeff doesn't want to leave Lincoln, Nebraska.
Oh.
But even if he did, he could take a train or a bus. And the truth of the matter is, it's possible to live without driving. Many of us don't realize
it. Oh, no, it ain't.
Huh?
Yeah, you ain't lived until you've driven.
You may call it living, but it ain't living. Until you've been in an SUV tailgating.
Yeah, I mean, you can make the decision not to drive once you have your license, and I think that's okay and admirable.
No, but it's harder. Jeff, I have to say I'm on your side with this because people don't realize the joys and pleasures and excitement
of sponging
of
rides.
Public transportation. Public transportation is very interesting. And the rest of us who sit in cars with no one to talk to except the people we talk to on our cell phones, they don't enjoy. I mean, how many people can you see on
a train
ride?
I mean, how often is it that you get into your car and some burping wino is sitting in the seat next to you?
Just about every time. But where else do you have the opportunity to see a burping wino? Or to have a relationship with a burping wino?
What if I don't want a relationship with a burping wino?
Well, that's the whole thing. People get insulated. They get in their cars. They insulate themselves from the world. And pretty soon you become very self-centered.
Uh-huh.
And what happens if you use public transportation is you realize that we're all here together.
Well,
it's much, much more interesting and nice.
I'll tell you, the times that I ride, that I do ride the public transportation quite a bit, nobody talks to anybody. Everyone is in his own little world. It's just as bad as being in your own car.
You don't have to talk to communicate, man. You don't have to talk.
Burping? Burping is
burping is good, but you can see people.
But they don't want to see you. They don't want to interact with you.
Oh, I don't know. I think we have to use your idea of... My brother has a brilliant idea because not enough people use public transportation. His contention is that the people who run the public transportation business, subways and buses, especially the subway, which we have here in the city of Boston, they almost make it difficult for you and unpleasant.
They took all the fun out of it.
They took all the fun out of it.
They sucked the life out of the train.
Like in Washington, D.C., you can't eat a donut, you can't drink a cup of coffee, you can't do anything, you can't spit, you can't smoke a cigar. My brother thinks that all the public transportation systems should have theme cars.
Theme cars.
So that you could go in the cha-cha car. And there would be bands in there playing, people dancing.
Yeah, Xavier Cugat would be right
Cugat.
In there.
Or you could have the cigar-smoking car. Or you could have, there's no end to the number of themes that they could come up with. So that people would be fighting, paying hundreds of dollars to get on the train. So I think you are closer to that, Jeff, by not insulating yourself in a car. Stay away from the car. You're right. Stand up for what you think and say, I will not get a driver's license because I stand against.
All right.
And if she doesn't like it, tell her it's your way or the highway, so to speak.
Yeah, your way or the bus.
Thanks for calling, Jeff.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
He is in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
He's lost it.
Yeah. He ought to have two licenses. One for coming and one for going. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-825. Lincoln, Nebraska. I remember taking the train from Denver. The train was already like 2.5 days late when it got to Denver. My sandwiches had all spoiled and all that. We get on the train. It was an interesting trip because the train moved exactly 8 feet and a wheel fell off the bag. So they shut everything down.
It happens.
And they bring in a new baggage car.
Yeah.
And, of course, what? The baggage car, the defunct one, was full of what?
Baggage.
Baggage. It wasn't full of my baggage. I have my baggage with me. Everyone else's baggage is in there. I don't think there's any baggage in the baggage car. I think they're smuggling stuff, but that's another story. So they finally do all that, and they say, don't worry, folks. We're going to make up this.
How can they smuggle stuff? They're sneaking into Cuba on the baggage car.
I don't know where it's going, but there's something sneaky going on there. So they do this transfer, during which time they come to our little compartment and they announce that we're going to make up this 8 hours of lost time in the night. The trains really go fast because there are no railroad police out at night, and they can make up lost time.
Sure.
They go 150, 200 miles an hour. Who knows? They may even sprout wings and fly a little bit. And yeah. I remember the train traveled all night long, and through my restless sleep, I awakened a few times to look out into the dark, wondering where I was, figuring that we must be close to Chicago by now because that's our destination. And I finally wake up sometime mid-morning, my stomach growling, and I realize that we're in Lincoln, Nebraska. And I look at the map. Lincoln, Nebraska! It was pretty sad.
Yeah, well, it happens.
It does. 188, it was, yeah.
On the other hand, you could have been in an airplane circling.
No, I could have been an airplane, and I could have been home, one in my own living room with my remote control. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. It was my wife that made me take the train. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jan calling from Little Rock.
Hi, Jan.
Little Rock.
And Jan has two N's, by the way.
I knew that.
Oh,
Jan.
Now, how did you get two N's?
I don't know. It's just long for Jan.
It sure is. You may as well put two J's in.
That'd be good.
That'd be good. Why not?
Yeah.
No, I mean, names can be anything you want them to be now, and I think that's great.
Better yet, they can be anything your mother wants them to be.
There you go.
Did you ever ask Mom, what were you thinking with that extra N?
She could not come up with a good explanation.
She couldn't?
No.
What was her name?
Annette.
With three N's.
So what's going on, Jen?
Well, I drive a 95 Honda Del Sol, which is, you know, a little two-seater.
Sure, we know what it is.
Well, I love the car, but about a year ago, I acquired a 77-pound, mostly Labrador Retriever.
Oh.
And we go often to visit my parents, who have a little farmette about an hour away. And she gets car sick.
You and the dog.
Yeah. So I have a two-part question. The first is, what sort of vehicle should I buy to make her more comfortable and less messy? And the second part of the question is, how do I get them to let me test drive it with her in the car?
Well, I know. That's easy.
Well, is it?
Yeah, you have to go at night. The dog is tied to a telephone pole around the corner from the dealership. And you whistle for her, she jumps in, and you go for your test drive.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, if she's going to blow her cookies, I mean, you don't want to buy the thing, right?
Right. But, you know, I've been doing some very scientific research on this, and I drove her up once in an Explorer, and she did fine.
How old is Muffy here?
She's six, but I've only had her for a year.
Oh, she is?
She was a Humane Society dog.
Oh.
And it may be that she doesn't have much experience. I've discovered... from various dogs that have
blown lunch in your car.
Blown lunch in my car. That they, for lack of a better expression, that they do get cured of it eventually.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why I asked how old she was, because our dog did the same thing when she was young.
Huh.
But she outgrew it by the time she was like two.
How long does it take before, and has she ever barfed down like the defrost event?
No, but she barfed into that little soft area around the gear shift one time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was quite
great.
A mess.
Oh, boy. Thank God for those dust busters, huh?
How much warning does she give you? Because our dog used to go into the spasms.
Well,
and if you were really quick, you could actually pull over, run around, let her out before she hurled chucks.
Sometimes.
She would give you the... And then, oh, no! And bingo!
I mean, you're not doing anything absurd like feeding her just before you get in the car.
No. Her little nose starts to sweat, and that's how I can... Yeah.
Well, I think you need... there are two choices here. You need a much bigger car.
Yeah.
Are you averse to a pickup truck?
Well, you know, I'm not sure what that would do to my image, but if I could hose it out, that would be a good
thing.
Well,
a pickup truck with a cap on the back,
Yeah.
Oh. And a bed liner. Oh. And one of those sliding windows so that you and Poochie can communicate.
Gotcha.
So she can barf on your neck.
Down the back of my shirt. Yeah.
But I think the pickup truck might be the thing. But you, and you can always hose the thing down. And the best part is if she does get sick, she's going to have to live with the smell.
Yeah, it's all her.
Typically, from my vast experience in barfing.
Yes.
The larger, rougher riding vehicles are better than the smoother riding vehicles.
And why would that be?
I don't know. Have you ever taken her on a cruise?
She loves boats.
Oh, there you go.
She's good in a boat.
See,
she's good in a boat.
You know what you need? A Lincoln. You need a Lincoln Town Car.
A Lincoln Town Car. If she likes boats, that's a boat.
Yeah.
A barge of some sort.
Yeah. I think dogs like that, that swooshy, sloshy feeling.
That big land yacht kind of thing.
Yeah. And I think your little car going, hitting every, feeling every little pebble in the road, it's just churning her stomach. And the poor thing, she can't help herself.
She can't.
No.
She means well.
So go big.
Okay.
If you can't go big, go ugly.
And hide the dog around the corner for the test drive.
There you go.
Yeah.
See you, Jan.
Thank you.
All right.
So long.
Well,
oh,
it's happened again. You have squandered another precious hour listening to Car Talk.
Oh, you ain't kidding.
It seemed like 3 hours. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin the Barbarian and David the Calves of Belleville Green. Our senior web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our production assistant is Aaron Wax. Our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Puerto Piata Enchilada Caponata Beef Tostada Veggie Strata Cheese Frittata Sopressata Carne Asada and Ice Salada Lunch for Nada, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our show reviewer is Seamus O'Dull. Our food taster is Howard M. Burgers. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the philosophers / falafel makers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember this, don't drive like my brother.
And remember this, don't drive like my brother.
And remember this, don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 931, dig into the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com, or you can call the Shameless Commerce Division for Car Talk gifts at 888-CAR-JUNK.
Also this week at cartalk.com, the new teen driver area. We've put together all of our wisdom about teens and driving and compiled it for you in this one terrifying area of our website.
Well, there's a lot of good advice there for both parents and teens.
Yeah, Jack, about how to get started behind the wheel, how to negotiate use of the family car.
And how to clean the velour seats in Mom's Camry after your friend Stewie pukes on them.
Yeah, important stuff. That's everything we know about teens and driving. Check it out at our website, cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though tattoo parlors report a steep drop in sales of I Heart NPR tattoos, whenever we say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.